told me it was you who was bringing the silver from Trieste." It was no consolation to me that Speedy was regarding me with something like worship at this recital of my supposed heroics, of all the godless suggestions. I tried to compose my features into the right expression of bewildered, amused regret as I kicked his appalling proposal into touch. "But, sir, you're forgetting something. Of course, I'd do it like a shot, or any other useful work. Safe enough, thinks I, fool that I was. But I don't speak Amharic, or any other local dialect for that matter." "Ah, but you do speak Arabic," cries Speedy. "That'll serve your turn. There's no lack of Arabic speakers up country, especially among the Mohammedan Galas, and Queen Mastiet is one of them."
"Queen who?"
"Mastiet, Queen of the Wolo Galas, the strongest, aye, and the most savage, tribe in the Gala Confederacy. She's the lass who'll decide whether they march against Theodore or not. Win her over, and we've won the Galas by the thousand."
He gave another of his booming laughs that set his barbaric ornament shaking.
"Mind you, it may be easier said than done. She's a remarkable lady, and I doubt if there's been a shrewder or more ruthless crowned female in this neck of the world since Cleopatra."
"Yes,
you did say she was formidable," murmurs Napier. "Indeed, she must be, to hold sway over such a people. And she is young, and a widow, is she not?"
He went on, his eyes on the big moths fluttering round the lamp.
"Personable? What Gala girl isn't?" grins Speedy. "Mastiet means looking-glass, so there you are. Not that she's a girl in years, fair, fat and 40, rather, a real stately Juno, but with a fine bright eye and a whale of an appetite. For her victuals, I mean. Regular glutton."
"To be sure," nods Napier.
"What more?" "Well, tell you the truth, Sir Robert, I was less interested in her looks than in getting out of her presence ec dum. When a playful tyrant with power of life and death starts to wonder whether a chap my size could tackle a full-grown lion with a knife, well, I'm glad to bid her good day."
"Dear me, why should she wonder any such thing?"
"Well, sir, she was three parts drunk at the time, but I reckon the real reason was feminine pique, cause I declined a post in her service."
He said it straight-faced, the great idiot. Some fellows don't know a gift mare when she kicks them in the trinkets.
"She'd have pitted me against one of her pet monsters if her chamberlain hadn't dissuaded her. Oh, she's a rum-un, Queen Mastiet. Jolly enough foxed, but wilful and sharp as a sabre when sober, for all her languid airs. Why, for 2 years she's ruled the Confederacy in despite of her elder sister, Waquite, Queen of the Ambo Galas, and there's a third claimant—"
"Thank you, Speedy," interrupted Napier.
"Well, however wilful, Her Majesty, she will hardly fail to respect a senior officer of a British army advancing on Magdala. What do you think, Sir Harry?"
Since Speedy had thrown my Arabic in my face, I'd been listening to their exchanges with mounting alarm, and now I made for the only bolt-hole I could see, while playing up like an eager Dick Champion.
"Why, of course I'll go, sir, if you wish it. Nothing I'd like better."
A ringing laugh followed by a rueful smile. "But, I hate to say it, surely Captain Speedy is far fitter for this work than I. He knows the Queen, and speaks her first language, and knows the country and customs."
"That is precisely what disqualifies him. Every Abyssinian knows him, and secrecy is essential. Theodore's spies inform him of every move we make, but he must not know that I have sent an envoy to the Galas."
Napier spoke with solemn emphasis, tapping a finger.
"He would surely set his agents to work to prevent their lending us aid. He might even encompass the death of Queen Mastiat. And your life would not be worth 2 piche if he knew of your mission. You will be deep in enemy country, remember. That is why you must put on native garb again. A harmless Asian traveller going about his affairs unsuspected."
You'll notice that what had begun as an invitation had become a cut-and-dried certainty in the mind of this abominable dotard.
I'd be skulking behind enemy lines, figged out like Ali Baba, risking capture by a maniac who twisted his victim's limbs off,